with certain text, it must have a syntax. A visual communication must have a syntax. As different words combined cannot make a sentence, as some sentences combined cannot make a paragraph, as some paragraphs combined cannot make a chapter. Similarly, by mere click of a picture, and then some text will not create that kind of hypnotic effect. It has to be done by artful management, by careful choice, by careful arrangement, which I like to refer to as visual syntax. Now, if we acquire that visual syntax, then only we will be able to justify our job, and we will be able to create a kind of situation where there will not be any iota of cacophony, noise, bottleneck, shortcoming, or any kind of jarring effect between the sender and the audience at large, between the source of communication to the target audience at large. And if we can do it, it can be done not merely through the aesthetic component of the work, but also from the point of view of communication, the artful communication. So if we can do it, then I think we'll be able to justify our work. And with that end in view, with that basic purpose, the theoretical background in view, now we have arranged this two-day exposure to various facets of photojournalism to which it can go in the context of the media scenario today. So I will not take much time. I have touched only the basic theoretical issues. Now the brass tacks, the nitty-gritty of it, the details of it, I will leave it to Professor Chaudhary and other speakers who will follow him today and tomorrow. So with that background note, now I will pass on to the mic to Professor Chaudhary. But before I do that, now it will be customary to just introduce him. He, of course, does not need any introduction. He is outstanding in his field. And I am inclined to believe that Professor Chaudhary has got a rich legacy of the pictorial ability, probably which he has inherited from his illustrious father, who is, I think, one of the most celebrated Indian authors in English, the great Hirosi Chaudhary. I, in fact, call him a young man of 96 years. So when I was reading his book, this autobiography of an unknown Indian, so in fact, in the book, which has created a visual wealth, a plethora of visual communication, which he has done in the field of literature. So while his father delved deep into the world of literature, he has translated some of those pictorial ability in the field of photography, in the field of visual communication. He does not need any further introduction. So he is an outstanding genius. He has imbibed a lot of things which in his life, it has spanned over a period of several decades. And I'm rather interested. And I was in fact thrilled by his various experiments and adventures in the field of photography. If Professor Chaudhary can recall, I think I'm referring to his experiments in the field of tribal communication at a level of cross-cultural exchange. And probably we exchanged notes in Shillong and at a place again hallowed by the memory of Rabindranath Tagore, who wrote his one of his immemorable novel, Shesher Kobita, at a ripe old age of 70. So I need not go into all these details. I am thrilled by various experiments which has carried out. He is here. So I think without taking any of your time, I'll straight away request Professor Chaudhary to address the participants and illuminate them with his brilliant and scintillating talk today. And then after his exposition, we'll invite questions. He'll be happy to answer them. Now, Professor Chaudhary.
Thank you, Mr. Bandhupadhyay. I am grateful to the authorities of Ministry of Information and Broadcasting for this arranging this particular workshop and calling me. But my pleasure is heightened by the fact, and I am rather frightened by the number of my ex-students I see over in this particular among the participants. So I hope I'll not repeat myself, but I have to find a common denominator among the persons whom I'm be meeting for the first time and talking. And anyway, my dear students who had been to the Institute, Indian Institute of Mass Communication, from which I have just retired after serving for 24 years, will forgive me if they find something which I have been repeating, which they heard before. Because on this particular topic, I had set forth a certain kind of points. They are bound to come, certain illustrations which I'm likely to show. But anyway, I hope recapitulating them, you will benefit from that one. Now, my task regarding photography as a medium of communication, that will be the main topic which I want to discuss. Not very much technical. Of course, later on, all of you are welcome to ask me anything you like, particularly on the technical aspect. But I think the most difficult aspect of visual communication, and photography in particular, by photography, I mean in the broader sense. That means I'm including not only photography, photojournalism, but also television journalism, film, and the visual world at large, because certain principles are common. But certainly my emphasis will be on photo features and news photography as a medium of communication. My task has been made very much easier by Mr. Bandyopadhyay with his illuminating talk, because if you look at my notes, this is precisely what with which I wanted to start with, the visual literacy. And what is visual literacy and how does a visual communicate? But before I go into that, I would like you to consider this immense power of visuals. And I don't know how many of you have seen or got cable television or have been seeing BBC over the last few days. Am I being clearly heard by everybody? Is there any problem? Okay. I hope I'm not, if I go fast, please interrupt me and then ask me to go slow. Or if you would like to recapitulate or challenge your point, you must do that. Now, you see, a photograph of a five-year-old girl pathetically clutching her toy and looking vacantly with her father, her mother has been dead in Sarajevo, has shaken the whole world and even the solid British government in accepting the injured refugees and particularly children from the atrocities what has been happening in Bosnia-Herzegovina. I think you are aware of that, because this girl's mother was killed, this girl was fatally wounded, she got meningitis, and unless she was evacuated within 24 hours, BBC showed this visual. It was not much of a movie, it was practically a still photograph with her father sitting and this girl looking vacantly, and there was a toy in her hand, a small teddy bear which she was clutching. This created so much of world opinion that for all the EC countries, all the European countries, all the world has come to know what atrocious thing this war, or for that matter, any war is doing in Bosnia-Herzegovina. So visuals have a tremendous power. But how does visual communicate? Now, I have come here to learn more from you and the discussion today rather than what I have to give you. But anyway, we would set the ball rolling by mentioning a few ideas. Now, how does visual acquire this power of communication? Now, you have been practicing either directly as a photo officers, taking photographs and communicating every day. You are absolutely familiar with the equipment. Even if you are not using the cameras, I mean, I see several students of mine who are in very senior positions now who have been using photography for their day-to-day purpose and for special purpose of communication. Now, in order to understand this power of visuals, it is important to know that how does visual communicate? And let me tell you, well, I think I'll start, I won't put the answer, you will not get the answer from me, but you yourself will answer. And those of you who have already seen this photograph earlier, please don't answer me first. Let those who have not seen it first answer me. I'll show you a photograph, and you will have to tell me what is the message you get. What do you, and you have to respond, you know, I'll be, it's not, you know, communication has, if it has to be successful, has to be a two-way dialogue. So, what do you get from, not my old students. What is the message, what are you getting, quick.
Come. Fear and amazement.
Sorry?
Fear and amazement.
Amazement, yes. Anybody else? Please. Come.
So grief and dismay.
Grief and dismay, yes. Somebody from that side?
Contemplation.
Contemplation, yes. Anything more? Please, come on. You?
Shock.
Shock. Okay. Now, have you noticed that all of you have described his mental state? You have not described that he is an old man. You have not described that, but all of you have are more or less correct, and you have described the mental state. So this is exactly what I want you to understand right in the beginning, that photography or the visual media has the power of going beyond the immediate reality. You get my point? And convey a mood or an idea. This is extremely important. And this comes from very deliberately, it can be built up by the photographer or those people who are using photography as a medium of communication. Now, why do you say he is in shock? Why do you say he is in dismay? Why do you say he is, I mean, contemplating something?
Because of the expression.
Expression, yes. Extremely good. So, now, how is the, shall I go into the basics of it? How did the photographer capture the expression? What are the expressions? Kindly describe the physical aspects of the expressions. If I may say so, his furrow. I mean, he has knitted his, yes, wrinkles. Way he is looking. Am I right? Way he is holding his head in his hand. All this are adding together and giving you this particular message. Do you agree? No, if you don't agree, if any of you have any contradiction, I'd like to hear it. Because more we have this, better will be our understanding of the visuals. Now, how did the furrows come out? How did this extreme, rather distressing, concentrated concentrating expression come? It is on account of light. Light and shadow.